My dear brethren and sisters, let us open our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 188. Hymn 188. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Hymn 188. Let us further sing together from the red supplement, hymn number 204, hymn 204. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but thee, yet possessing every blessing, if our God our Father be. Hymn 204.
Yeah.
It's now with pleasure then, brethren and sisters, that we invite Brother Julian to exhort us from God's word. Brother Julian.
My dear brethren and sisters, once more we meet together to remember our Lord and Saviour. We do this because it's something the Lord Jesus commanded us to do. We are remembering again what he did, that saving work that was essential to our salvation. We don't have any problem with those words of his, "This do in remembrance of me." Although this is important, what we are doing, we know it's just part of our service that our Heavenly Father requires. Sometimes, when you're talking to someone, you get the impression they haven't heard a word you say. So what about what God says to us through his word? How attentive are we to his words? After all, they are words of eternal life. So that's something I would like to think about this morning before we partake of these emblems before us. These thoughts are prompted from the readings which we did this morning earlier. From 1 Samuel chapter 3 and Isaiah 49. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." In Isaiah 49 verse 1 we have the words, "Listen, O isles, and hearken unto me, ye people from far." Over and over again in the scriptures we read that Israel would not listen. We read this from Isaiah chapter 1. And these are the words from Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. God says, "Hear ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owners, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Now, brothers and sisters, this word hearken, which we read earlier, appears some 200 times in the scriptures. And unfortunately, it usually preceded or followed by the word not. But in the first time hearken is mentioned in the scriptures, it concerns the downfall of man. And you'll remember the words from Genesis 3:17. "Unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree." Well, we know the consequences of Adam hearkening unto his wife. And that makes that all the more urgent for us today as we consider those words. Fortunately, brethren and sisters, there has always been a few of those who have hearkened unto God, like Abel, who offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear and prepared that ark. Abram departed from his family and native place, not knowing whether he was going. And later he was prepared to offer up Isaac. And today we have read of Samuel, a young boy, whose task was apparently to serve as an attendant to the ark, near to which he slept at Shiloh. The record simply says, "And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." We must remember Samuel was born and grew up at that time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, as we've been reading from the Judges just recently. And even now Eli was hardly a good role model, as we saw from yesterday's reading. From where Samuel performed his duties, it would have not been hard for him to notice the conduct of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, described in the scriptures as worthless men who knew not the Lord. The condemnation of Eli's son is based on their practice in the sanctuary. Their crime was that they took, for their own use, parts of the sacrifice, other than that which was their rightful due. Eli was also included in this condemnation, although he might not have taken part in that. We have the rebuke of the man of God in 1 Samuel 2 and chapter 20, verse 29. Wherefore kick ye again at my sacrifices, at mine offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honour thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people. Don't you find in those circumstances that it's incredible that Samuel kept himself immune from all this sort of thing, which he could clearly see around him? It's not as though Samuel would have been, it's thought that Samuel would have been about 12 years old. And although he was girded with that linen ephod for his service, his mother still kept him clothed by bringing him that little coat, you remember, that she had made when she saw him each year. And then we have God's intervention by this threefold calling to Samuel. Well, at least Eli got this right when he instructed Samuel as to how he should respond to that repeated calling from the Lord. The words of Eli to Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Jesus was to say much later during his ministry, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." We can, of course, ignore or violate this calling. It is our free will which we have. The vast majority of people reject God's word because they don't want to be responsible to anyone. What about Israel, a chosen nation, a chosen people? Well, just about all hearken not. References sadly apply to them, and it's never an improving situation. Let me read a few words to you from Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah 7 verse 23. "This thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Ye shall be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their own evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came of the land of Egypt unto this day, have I even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising daily, rising up early, and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." And then there's that verse from Isaiah chapter 5, where Israel is likened unto a vineyard. And God says, "What more could have been done in my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes?" It is, of course, easy to see other people's faults. And Israel, of course, are written down for us all to see and read. If we look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 11, we have there I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And in verse 17, Paul likens God's people to an olive tree, which we have been grafted into, the branches that from the branches that were broken off. But that means we have the same responsibility as they had. And so Paul says in verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and now standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. So what a warning that is. By the end of this chapter, through the words of Paul, we can see that once the full complement of the Gentiles has been made up and called to the same hope as of the gospel, the hard hearts of the Jews will be softened, so that in the long run, the scriptures say, all Israel will be saved. So we, as spiritual Israel, with hindsight, can look on their failures of the past and learn from them, hopefully. So what do we need to hearken to, as it were? Earlier we thought a bit about Eli and how the divine arrangements of worship had declined to an alarming degree. But, of course, that was only part of it. As high priest, Eli represented and spoke for God. And, of course, that's what we read in Malachi. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. As we have seen, Eli's sons were out of control, so much so that it says in the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. No father is responsible for the deeds of his children, provided that they have been instructed adequately in the ways of God in the first place. This was clearly not the case with Eli's sons, for, as we read, they knew not the Lord. It is not that Eli was incapable of correction, for he was quick enough to tell Hannah off, we remember, when he mistakenly thought she was drunk. We might say, thank goodness we don't have the responsibility of that of a high priest. Well, that might be so. But brethren and sisters, we are all sons and daughters of God and called to that high and holy calling. And that standard is very high, we know. As Paul would say, let everything be done decently and in order. Jesus, during his ministry, as we would expect, was certainly not content with just one reminder of our personal responsibility. It occurs over and over and over again. As to hearing, he says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, this is Jesus, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever have, to him shall be given. And whosoever have not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. His disciples had to be assiduous in their attention to his word that fell from his lips, so that they were well equipped to pass it on to others and those who would have ears to hear. And we know these precious words are not meant for everyone. This is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Yes, how privileged we are that we have been, that these things have been revealed to us through that word, and we are prepared to listen. That was the whole point of the parables, we remember. But Jesus said, I will open my mouth in parables, I will write things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And packed into these parables, which we know so well, are lessons enough, if only we to whom they have been revealed do seek honestly their relevance to our souls today. This is what Jesus meant when he ended with those concise and searching words, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. If we go back to our first reading again, we can see it's possible even for a young man to steer a faithful course and godly course, even in the most unfavourable conditions. We read in 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. What an example that is. When we look at chapters 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel, we have a scene presented for us in which we can look down upon and observe the actions of God's people at a certain place and at a certain time. It's rather like that scene we have presented for us with Jesus walking among those seven churches in Asia, which we read about a day or two ago. What do we see? Apart from one church, all the rest were found wanting in some way or other. Yes, there was criticism from Jesus, yet for each one there was also encouragement. Look at those words to that lukewarm church at Laodicea from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come and will sup with him, and he with me. Also, to each one of those churches, Jesus says, as he did to the in those discerning parables, he that had ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, brothers and sisters, I'd now like to turn to Isaiah chapter 49, which we read together earlier. Verse 1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother have he made mention of my name. Isaiah had previously spoken of this nativity in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, well-known words. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call, his name shall be called Emmanuel. Yes, the Lord Jesus, God's Son and Saviour. Several things in the first 11 verses of that chapter to recognise him by. Verse 2, a mouth like a sharp sword. Verse 6, my servant, the implication work, the intended work to be performed on behalf of another. In this particular part of Isaiah's prophecy, we, isles and people from far, are urged to open our ears to the words of Emmanuel. We go back to a moment for those words of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We know Samuel was given to the Lord, brought up in very difficult circumstances. We perhaps marvel that he even made it at all. Then here in Isaiah chapter 49, in other places, we have another servant brought up in similar circumstances. No doubt, both moulded by those humble beginnings, both to manifest themselves to Israel. Jesus, we know, said, "Of mine own self I can do nothing." But his power, by his power, Almighty God, though, did accomplish his purpose through Jesus. We can see these expressions in Isaiah 49, verse 2. "He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In his hand he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver have he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." And so, of this glory, we can see in the latter half of verse 7. "Kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship, because the Lord is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." In verse 8, "In the acceptable time have I heard, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee." Although these words here apply to Jesus Christ, when Paul quotes them, as he does in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, he widens the scope of God's purpose by including those who have opened their ears and received the gospel. For each one of us today is the time to lay hold on salvation. Just look at these, Paul's plea in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Then Paul quotes Isaiah 49 verse 8. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time acceptable, and in the day of salvation I have succoured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Yes, brothers and sisters, now is the day. So according to that verse, not only are we to listen, but God needs to hear from us, something he can pick up from us. He needs to see some response, not like that man who hid his money he was given in the earth, and it achieved nothing. There must be something for our Father to see, something in which he can work with through us. Jesus, of course, only responded to those who responded to him. There were those which Jesus said to, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And he says then, "Labour not to meat that perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrection chapter, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Christ became the reality of that sheaf of corn that we have in the law of Moses. And if you know anything about an old-fashioned corn harvest, you will know the sheaf is the end product when the corn is reaped and is then securely tied up to be taken away. So the Lord Jesus is the first fruit and guarantees a successful end, the final harvest of the redeemed. And this is something what James says, "Of his own self will he beget us, with his own word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Yes, the human tendency is to be swift of speech, we know, rather than hearing, which seems to be a sort of glory in a multitude of words. Our politicians are very good at this, of course. Then in verse 22, we have those well-known words, nevertheless important words, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers, only deluding our own souls. In that previous verse, he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, usually we connect these words with the words of Jesus, and rightly so, where he says, you can't be my disciples unless you face up to the challenge which my teaching presents. At the conclusion of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And this house, of course, would stand whatever came against it. These are some words from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Well, thinking of everlasting foundations, we have Paul's words, the 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. Moses had spoken of the prophet whose words would be God's words, which men would need to listen to. From Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And verse 18 adds, he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. During Jesus' ministry, there were those selected disciples with Jesus, where he was transfigured before them. Then the voice of declaration concerning Jesus, first made at his baptism, at the time only heard by himself, but now by these three representatives of his disciples. And a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Well, those disciples did hear him, and that message has been passed down through the ages, and we are able to hear it today, albeit on a written page. How thankful, then, brothers and sisters, we are to have our eyes and ears opened to these precious words of life. Thankful, too, that we have not been led astray by some of those words which some of us would have believed, which some would have us believe. So in conclusion, we fix our minds firmly on the Lord, our Lord and Saviour, who has done the difficult part in conquering the evil and triumphing over it in his resurrection. His whole life was a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit, exemplified in the wilderness temptations and climaxed in Gethsemane, when his ultimate desire was the glorification of his Father's name. His triumph over the grave is the assurance of victory for all those who have and still do take up their crosses daily. And so let's continue to listen to those precious words that came from the lips of Jesus. For he says, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life." And Peter simply put it, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life."
Let us now sing together hymn 190. The bread and wine we take, O Lord, and in these emblems see thy body broke, thy blood outpoured, as we remember thee. Hymn 190. Brother Phil is going to conclude with prayer this morning after we have sung together hymn number 88. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest with thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the saints thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Hymn number 88.